Chapter 11. Friday, May 13th to Saturday, May 14th. Blomquist made sure that he was not being watched when he walked from the Millennium offices early on Friday morning to Salander's old apartment block on Lundegarten. He had to meet Idris Gidi in Göteborg. The question was how to travel there without being observed or leaving a trail. He decided against the train since he didn't want to use a credit card. Normally he would borrow Berger's car, but that was no longer possible. He thought about asking Cortez or someone else to rent a car for him, but that too would leave a trace. Finally he came up with the obvious solution. He had the keys to Salander's burgundy Honda. It had been parked outside her building since March. He adjusted the seat and saw that the gas tank was half full. Then he backed out and headed across Liljeholmsbrunn towards the E4. At 2:50 he parked on a side street off Avenyn Göteborg. He had a late lunch at the first café he saw. At 4:10 he took the tram to Angered and got off in the centre of town. It took 20 minutes to find Idris Gidi's address. He was about 10 minutes late for their meeting. Gidi opened the door, shook hands with Blomquist, and invited him into a living room with Spartan furnishings. He had a limp. He asked Blomquist to take a seat at the table next to a dresser on which were a dozen framed photographs which Blomquist studied.
"My family," Gidi said.
He spoke with a thick accent. Blomquist suspected that he would not pass the language test recommended by the People's Party of Sweden.
"Are those your brothers?" "My two brothers on the left were murdered by Saddam in the 80s. That's my father in the middle. My two uncles were murdered by Saddam in the 90s. My mother died in 2000. My three sisters are still alive. Two are in Syria, and my little sister is in Madrid."
Gidi poured Turkish coffee.
"Kurdo Baksi sends his greetings."
"Kurdo said you wanted to hire me for a job, but not what it was. I have to tell you right away that I won't take the job if it's illegal. I can't afford to get mixed up in anything like that."
"There is nothing illegal in what I'm going to ask you to do, but it is unusual. The job itself will last for a couple of weeks. It must be done each day, but it'll take only a minute of your time. For this I'm willing to pay you 1,000 kroner a week, which I won't report to the tax authorities."
"I understand. What is it I have to do?"
"One of your jobs at Sahlgrenska Hospital, 6 days a week if I understand correctly, is to clean Corridor 11C, the intensive care unit."
Gidi nodded. Blomquist leaned forward and explained his plan. Prosecutor Ekström took stock of his visitor. It was the third time he had met Superintendent Nyström. He saw a lined face framed by short grey hair. Nyström had first come to see him in the days following the murder of Carl Axel Bodin. He had offered credentials to indicate that he worked for SIS. They had had a long, subdued conversation.
"It's important that you understand this. In no way am I trying to influence how you might act or how you do your job. I would also emphasize that under no circumstances can you make public the information I give you," Nyström said.
"I understand."
Truth be told, Ekström did not entirely understand, but he didn't want to look like an idiot by asking questions. He understood that the death of Bodin Zalachenko was a case that had to be handled with the utmost discretion. He also understood that Nyström's visit was off the record, although endorsed by the highest authorities within the security police.
"This is a matter of life or death," Nyström had said at their first meeting. "As far as the security police are concerned, everything related to the Zalachenko case is top secret. I can tell you that he is a defector, a former agent of Soviet military intelligence, and a key player in the Russians' offensive against Western Europe in the 70s.
"That's what Blomquist at Millennium is evidently alleging.
And in this case Blomquist is quite correct. He's a journalist who happened to stumble upon one of the most secret operations ever conducted by Swedish Defence."
"He's going to publish the information."
"Of course. He represents the media with all the advantages and drawbacks. We live in a democracy, and naturally we cannot influence what is written in the press. The problem in this case is that Blomqvist knows only a fraction of the truth about Zalachenko, and much of what he thinks he knows is wrong.
I see.
What Blomqvist doesn't grasp is that if the truth about Zalachenko comes out, the Russians will swiftly identify our informants and sources in Russia. People who risked their lives for democracy will be in danger of being killed.
But isn't Russia a democracy now, too? I mean, if this had been during the communist days...
That's an illusion. This is about people who spied formally within the Soviet Union. No regime in the world would stand for that, even if it happened many years ago, and a number of these sources are still alive.
No such agents existed, but Ekström couldn't know that. He was bound to take Nyström at his word. And he couldn't help feeling flattered that he was being given information, off the record, of course, that was among the most secret to be found in Sweden. He was slightly surprised that the Swedish security police had been able to penetrate the Russian military to the degree Nyström was describing, but he perfectly understood that this was information that absolutely could not be disseminated.
When I was assigned to make contact with you, we did an extensive investigation of your background, Nyström said.
The seduction always involved discovering someone's weaknesses. Prosecutor Ekström's weakness was his belief in his own importance. Like everyone else, he appreciated flattery. The trick was to make him feel that he had been specially chosen.
We have confirmed that you are a man who enjoys enormous respect within the police force, and of course in government circles.
Ekström looked pleased. That unnamed individuals in government circles had great confidence in him implied that he could count on their gratitude if he played his cards right.
Simply stated, my assignment is to provide you with background as necessary and as discreetly as possible. You must understand how improbably complicated this story has become. For one thing, a preliminary investigation is underway for which you bear the primary responsibility. No one, not in the government, or the security police, or anywhere else, can interfere in how you run this investigation. Your job is to ascertain the truth and bring the guilty parties to court. One of the most crucial functions in a democratic state.
Ekström nodded.
It would be a national catastrophe if the whole truth about Zalachenko were to leak out.
So what exactly is the purpose of your visit?
First, to make you aware of the sensitive nature of the situation. I don't think Sweden has been in such an exposed position since the end of the Second World War. One might say that, to a certain extent, the fate of Sweden rests in your hands.
Who is your superior?
I'm sorry, but I cannot reveal the name of anyone working on this case. Let me just say that my instructions come from the very highest levels.
Good Lord, he's acting on orders from the government, but he can't say without unleashing a political firestorm.